Chuck Chat Technorama for Sunday, July 10th, 2005.
This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocoptic Margot vanes. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated amulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. And the phasic lunar wane shaft. Lotus O-deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplaneration. Retroencabulator.
Push the buttons, Chuck. Here we go. Got the right things up. Welcome to Chuck Chad Technorama. I am your host, Chuck Tomasi, podcasting as always from Appleton, Wisconsin. And with me once again is Craig Stapp. How are you, Craig?
Wake up. I'm okay. How about you?
I'm fine. This is Skippy, and I'm here from tech support to help you out.
Hello, can I help you?
If you need help, this is the place you want to go. We have nothing to do with that.
Run.
Chuck Chad Technorama is the show to feed your inner geek, and we've got some good geek stuff tonight. Tonight we are... I'm doing a follow-up on my iTunes 4.9 review. It came across a little harsh last week when it first came out. That was from the podcaster, the content provider perspective. Tonight I will be doing, I wouldn't call it a rebuttal, but maybe I switch hats and put on the end user perspective and give you a little bit of review on that. My thoughts on iTunes 4.9. And Craig has?
I have a couple of, I'm dropping back and punting a little bit from the digital picture frame.
What are you punting?
The laptop. So I've got a couple of war stories from that, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Oh, we like war stories. We like war stories. That's what this show is all about. What works, what doesn't, what real life is all about, and we're not out to slander anybody, but we'll tell you our honest opinions of what we think of things as they happen. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Updated. Also, we have more on our installation and configuration of WordPress as we migrate the ChuckChat.com site over. And we've got a few other things to throw on there that weren't on the current site. We hope to have that up and live this week, but you will know more on Wednesday's show.
When we know more.
You know what we know. No, wait a minute. That's a scary thought.
Hello, this is Kyan Chris Conroy from the Technical Difficulties Podcast, and you're listening to Chuck Tomasi on ChuckChat.com.
I keep looking at the LEDs, and I'm wondering, did I mute Craig's microphone? Did I not? There's just some crazy things. I don't think that one leaked through when you said, don't forget to turn my microphone off.
I hope not. Well... it's enough to hear myself speak. I can't hear myself speak twice. Myself.
And now we have a little bit of news for you.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I had the printer. No printer tonight. We'll have to do it from the screen. Darn.
This is a laser printer. It's a little quieter.
Impact printer. The old letter quality. 42 characters per minute. Light speed.
Did you ever work on a band printer?
Yes. Yes, in college. Those were speedy, weren't they?
Oh, man. I got called out one time to go look at one, and it was the first time I really messed with it. And I was looking at it, I have no idea. I'm just sitting there trying to clean the band, and I forget what I was trying to fix on it. But
those are monsters.
It was huge.
They're
but
monsters.
Yeah, once that thing was going, it's like, I mean, it's flying.
Yep.
So
that always amazed me how fast. How could they print that fast? Anyway, what do you? You got something here from Amazon?
Yeah, check this out. Amazon is sending celebrities out to deliver orders because they're celebrating their 10th anniversary, and they figure this is the best way to do it. Here's a clip from the article. It says Hollywood star Harrison Ford or musician Moby could soon be turning up at U.S. doors to personally deliver Amazon products as part of their online vendor's 10th birthday celebration. Now, I don't know about you, but I would just flip out if Harrison Ford came to my door delivering Raiders of the Lost Ark. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Leonard Nimoy delivering Star Trek would probably be more up my alley, but
that would be cool.
Key word here is could.
Yeah.
Could be turning up at your doorstep.
Hey, you know, one of my coworkers I was talking to about this, he's like, yeah, but you'll never know. It's like, well, if you read farther down in the article, they're actually going to webcast them delivering the products on their website, right in the front page.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
So even if they deliver it while I'm at work, I probably should have it delivered to work. Are they going to put on the UPS brown outfit?
You'd be like, hey, there's Harrison Ford. He's at my house. What's my wife kissing him for? What?
She's inviting him in. What? Mel Gibson? No! This didn't work out anything like I expected.
But I think I think at the end of the week, they're having a concert with Bob Dylan and Norah Jones, I think that's her name.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually going to be webcast a whole concert on Amazon.com. He's actually the number one selling artist on there, which I'm a little surprised at that.
My daughter has just come in to give me a good night kiss. Welcome home and good night. And she's going to steal my water.
Take it. Hey, check it out. Actually, you know what? I just noticed they have some videos up there now.
No kidding.
There's Michael J. Fox delivering a copy of his memoir. There's a guy. I think it's the guy that wrote the Lemony Snicket series.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I have to go back and watch those. Oh, Jeff Bridges showing up. Well, with a copy of The Big Lebowski, that'd be awesome.
Moving right along.
All right, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Obviously, you're not a golfer. I'm sorry.
I am a golfer. I'm just a really bad golfer.
No, that's one of my favorite lines from that movie. The guy's like holding the bowling ball. Oh. So what is this? Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Now, latest weather reports say that Hurricane Dennis has made landfall today.
Mm-hmm.
And is moving through. Will that affect the shuttle launch?
I don't know, but it's maybe affecting the show.
Why would that be?
Just listen to it tomorrow. We'll find out. Well, Chuck, up here at the beach, it's just like it was last time we had a hurricane.
Yeah.
Thanks for that report.
They could be using stock footage of Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel. We wouldn't know the difference. They always send him into the hurricanes. You notice that?
Yeah. It's like really wet and windy.
Trees and stuff blowing around. It's kind of like sports commentators trying to commentate on a bowling game. I think he's going to go for the split, Dave.
My favorite today, I was watching a little bit of coverage, and the guy's like, there's no roads out here, or there's no cars out here on the road. And as soon as the camera panned around, there was like two cars past the camera. Oops. Anyway.
Are we talking tech tonight?
What's that?
Are we talking tech tonight?
What's that?
It's Hold a school, on. You know, the local tech college.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Blue Moon. My beer of choice.
Really? I've got water.
What flavor water? Avion? It's just tap.
It's tap water. Put in the refrigerator for an hour.
It's that special Wisconsin cheese water.
Hey, we should make a quick shout out to all the people that are from the iTunes Music Store who have found us that way. Thank you very much. We are now officially listed both shows. Technorama has been up since Saturday morning. the 9th. So we've been listed for, what, a whole 36 hours, maybe a little more? We checked Friday night before we went to bed. We weren't there. Craig sends me his email bright and early Saturday and says, hey, get this. We're finally listed. So if you found
us... Every hour in the night, I was getting up and checking each hour, and it finally showed up.
You've been having too much blue moon.
Yeah. Well, the night's still young.
Now, I found something very interesting on Yahoo News today. The military's energy beam weapon has been delayed. For years, the U.S. military has explored a new kind of firepower that is instantaneous, precise, and virtually inexhaustible. Beams of electromagnetic energy. Can you say, holy Star Trek phasers, Batman? Directed energy pulses can be throttled up or down depending on the situation, much like the phasers on Star Trek could be set to kill or merely stun. That'd be cool. If you go on and read a little bit more on the article, it's very interesting about the guy's feedback of, well, the market's not really ready for this, but it was fascinating to read through that stuff.
Obviously, he's not a sci-fi fan. Otherwise, they'd have had that thing out several years ago.
You think so?
Yeah, man, I've been like, oh, I'm breaking out. What's it delayed for?
It just baffles the mind to think that, you know, soldiers could be running around with phasers in their hands pretty soon.
I want force fields next.
Well, yeah, that'd be cool too, but you know, you got to wonder if the energy input is going to be worth the energy. Transporters, get them. Get them. We want transporters.
Hey, now I know. I want to interrupt real quick. I know we're just going off on tangents tonight, so I'm just going to keep up the tradition.
Welcome to Tangent Night on Chuck Chat Technorama.
It says Tangerama.
Ew.
One time I had this guy come in. This is when I was working at my own ISP, and he came in and signed up for internet, and I could tell he was a huge Star Trek geek. And we talked for a few minutes. All of a sudden, he walked out the door, and I thought he was on his way. He comes back in. He's like, "Let me ask you a question." I was like, "Sure, what's that?" And he goes, "If there was this transporter accident," and he was talking about the Riker, the one where Riker cloned himself from the transporter by accident or something. And I was like, he came all the way back in the in the store to ask me this.
It could happen.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Tim from Winecast, and when I want to get in touch with my inner geek, I go to Chuck Chat Technorama. 101, guys.
We have a download of the day. It is called Gmail Status, and unfortunately, the one that I found is only for OS X users on the Macintosh, and I will put a link to that in the show notes. It puts a little status thing up on the menu bar, you know, along with your sound and your wireless and anything else you decide to nail up on that. Just double check and make sure you get your mic up.
Yeah. Am I talking now?
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? I'm sorry. Craig had to step out for the second half of the show.
No, you're just trying to stifle me.
Actually, we've been doing this show for a couple of months, and I've been talking to myself.
Yeah.
That and the little blue 2-foot-high guy in the chair next to me. Yeah, he little gremlin guy.
Don't worry. Hey, lay off that water.
That's good water, man. Gmail status. Man, we are running around in circles tonight.
I'm going to take a nap. Let me know when it's over.
It's been a long weekend.
It feels like it has.
Puts a little thing up in the... It works really well, except I never read my email from Gmail. I use it all through a pop client filter thing on the Mac. So I started this thing up. It's had 285 new messages.
Whoa, hello.
I went, no. I don't think I'll be using this too much.
In the morning, it may be all the feedback we get from this show.
You guys stink.
Anyway, well, that's pretty cool, though. I do read all my email from the Gmail site.
Do you use a Mac?
Yeah, well, I use it on the... Yeah, I use Gmail everywhere, so, yeah.
ChuckChat.com.
Ah, we just crashed! I have some audio feedback. Somebody left a message on the listener line, 206-222-CHAT. Now, this is my challenge to the listeners. You can do better than this. It was bad enough when I got the blank messages, but now we get stuff like this.
Many of our suites have views of Elliott Bay. Homewood Suites is one of the best all-suite hotels in the Seattle area.
You think we could charge them as for sponsorship?
You know what?
I like the Mozart.
You should call them and play it back to them.
If you're traveling on...
Wait, he's got more.
Homewood Suites has everything you need. Our executive center is available 24 hours a day. A personal computer is loaded with popular software. Plus, you'll find a copier, typewriter, office supplies, and a work desk.
Typewriter?
Available on a complimentary basis to our guests. And now, for your added convenience, we also offer complimentary wireless high-speed internet access.
Woohoo! I knew there was a tech tie-in to this thing somewhere.
Yeah, personal computer is loaded with all the popular spyware.
I thought he was going to say start naming off like DOS programs or something.
Like Lotus Notes 1, 2, 3. Or Lotus 1, 2, 3.
Craig, the retro show was a few weeks ago.
I twisted my brain.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
The show's falling and it can't get up.
Definitely. But hey, if there's new listeners out there, they will certainly be enjoying the show.
Hey, here's a note to all you guys. It gets better than this.
Once in a while.
Yeah.
Don't touch that click wheel.
You're listening to Chuck Chat.
I'm still having problems pushing buttons here. I just, wait. I hit the solo button instead of the mute button. That would have been a big problem.
Hey, if you've liked all our shows in the past, just let this one slide and we'll get better next time.
Pay no attention to that man behind the soundboard. Let's get into our main stories while we still have our dignity intact.
Go for it, Chuck.
All right, I'm going to start out with my review of iTunes 4.9 from the end user standpoint. This was something that my boss came and slapped me over the head with a dead fish with. He said, Chuck, you're not getting it. When Freestyle showed up in the iTunes directory, I looked at him and went, woohoo, I'm listed. And he looked at me and said, Chuck, it's not going to work. So I took a step back, and in the process, I somehow managed to negotiate a device swap with my wife. I gave her my 10 gig first generation iPod and took custody of the 20 gigabyte fourth generation iPod. Updated the firmware. Yes.
Hey, so you did. You told her how it was.
Yeah. Listen, woman, I'm taking your iPod.
Okay, this is the last time you'll hear Chuck on a podcast.
Ow! Anyway. Upgraded the firmware, which is pretty painless and senseless. You update it, and it puts the new features of how to view show notes and things into the iPod, so it knows what to do. I haven't looked at any of those enhanced podcasts with the chapters and things yet. I plan on doing that. Downloaded a couple of my shows. Actually, I've taken all of my podcasts that are currently listed in the iTunes directory off of my traditional aggregator and put them into iTunes. My theory is, if you want to know how any software works, if you really want to get a good eval and a good taste of it, you have to jump in with both feet at least for a week, if not two. So I have decided to do that. Fortunately, iTunes lets you export to XML, so I could always put them back real quick. I haven't tried that feature, but we're hoping it doesn't come to that. And if it does, it works well. So I've got all of mine. What do I have in here? About 40 feeds right now. I don't know. It doesn't say how many you actually have.
Actually, I took the opportunity to kind of filter out mine again and basically built my lists from start again.
I had a good time with it. The fact that Technorama showed up on Saturday morning made me even happier. But yeah. I love subscribing to any of these feeds is easy. Most of them I did through a search. I knew I was looking for Geek News Central, so I looked it up and I hit subscribe. It does have a browse category or a browse feature where you can go to browse. You pick your category of podcasts, and we are listed at the very top of the technology podcast. So you gotta like that. It was done through some magic of cheating on ASCII characters, but we're there.
Gotta love that.
Ethical or not, we're there. From the user interface standpoint, this is very easy. Now I can tell people, load up iTunes, click on podcasts, search for Chuck Chat, subscribe. That's it. Or you go to chuckchat.com. We will have a couple of links on there that will take you right to the Technorama or Freestyle page, in which case you go to subscribe. So the instructions just got easier. You don't need to say, go download Doppler or iPod or X or yada, yeah. yada, yada. That's going to be for more of the advanced people who want to manage their podcasts on a more detailed level. So end user standpoint, love it. It's clean. It's easy. Subscribing is easy. Content providers can put links to their own sites. Like I mentioned, we will have two new links on the updated website that will take you right to our iTunes page.
Awesome.
And my favorite feature, and probably the reason I'm going to stick with this beyond all other features, is that you can pause a podcast, especially the longer ones. People who go more than 45 minutes, I have a hard time listening to them in one swat.
Yeah, tell me about it.
And like my wife reading five books, I'm often listening to five shows at the same time. Only I can't remember where I stopped. Was this one at 35 minutes and 14 seconds? Was that one at 14 minutes and 35 seconds? I don't know. So I wind up, you know, fooling around and going, I already heard that, didn't hear that, already heard that. And you know, fast forward, rewind, until you think, like, what a waste of time. It's all built in. I'm not producing AAC files specifically for iTunes to carry this. I'm still continuing to crank out MP3 files. And when they download through iTunes into my iPod, they are bookmarkable. They remember where they left off. And what's even neater is when I stop a show on the iPod, I go, okay, I got halfway home and I was halfway through In the Trenches. I put it in the cradle and I can click on In the Trenches latest show in iTunes and it will pick up exactly where I left off in the vehicle. That wasn't that feature like shown on the very first commercial where the guy was sitting at his desk and he picked up the iPod, put it in his shirt pocket, and kept listening to it at the same point.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about that with the song, the California, where he stick it in the shirt and he's dancing around his room.
Yeah. That was in a really old ad, but it never really worked like that until now.
Well, I didn't really pay attention to that part, but yeah, I guess maybe he did. But I'll tell you, you know, when I first started using iTunes, the new version, I didn't really listen to any on the PC or on my Mac until the other day, and I noticed that too. I was like, hey, wait. I was listening to my iPod, and I was like, did it just start where I left off at the house? I said, oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, so I noticed that just the other day. And I want to also say that I'm happy that Bob is as enlightened as I am when it comes to going, hey, I'd like rather see a better show description than just the title of the file.
I think you'll see more people moving to this. It's redundant information. When you look at most of these podcasts in the directory, it will say the name of the show and the date it was produced. You know what? I already have those two bits of information in other columns, so they don't need to be there. So you will see Chuck Chat showing up with, you know, six or seven words about the show there, little more information in the description field, and a lot more information in the show notes. So that's the format we're moving to. That'll lend itself better. Now everybody's going to jump up and go, oh, but I don't have an iPod and blah, blah, blah.
Hey, I have an answer for that.
Go get one?
No, yeah.
Market share?
Go to the Apple store. No. Listen, if you use iTunes, especially even on the PC, plug in whatever MP3 player you got, mm-hmm. and most of them are like USB drives, you know, where you just drag over some files, right?
Right.
Well, you can drag the files right out of iTunes and into a folder.
Unless, of course, they're the songs you bought through the iTunes music store.
No, I'm talking about the podcast.
If right,
you use it
right.
As a podcatcher,
yep.
you can go down your list and go, oh, that's a new one, drag it out into a folder, you know, and then they'll be on your player.
You are right. As you can tell, my ergonomics still aren't set up quite right for this desk.
Already in the microprocessor.
Faster than fiber chat.
You're listening to Chuck Tomasi on ChuckChat.com.
Older than the internet.
Yeehaw.
All right, well, here we go. the next edition of my step-by-step. And like I said, I want to apologize to everybody. I'm going to have to throw the schedule off just a tad because I had a couple of setbacks on my project. I have a Dell laptop that I was going to convert into the digital picture frame. Well, I tried to install Fedora Core 4. No go. I tried to install CentOS, which is a version of the Red Hat Enterprise Linux, you know, version 4.0. No go. And so I ended up getting Ubuntu Linux on there, which actually runs pretty good. Until it runs pretty good as long as you have a hard drive that decides to stay with you.
Oh no!
So my hard drive started making the clack 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 clack, like it had a quarter dropped in it or something. So I had a little setback with that. The hard drive actually went out. So I do not have a functioning laptop to turn into a picture frame. However, I did get the software set up at one point, and it was working fine. The instructions that I had out of the Linux Toys book, they have a shell script which you set up on your Linux box at interval. You know how you have different run levels? You know, you have a 1, normally 3, and then a, you know, 1 through 6.
Yep.
At any rate, they want you to set up another run level, 4, and make that your default, which 4 is reserved, so you can really do kind of whatever you want with it without screwing the rest of the system up. You might set up run level 4 and to run that shell script, and it automatically kicks off the picture viewer. There's no other GUI or anything like that. So it's, you know, it just automatically runs and you're in it. And you can still have access to the machine and everything, which is kind of cool. So anyway, I had everything set up with the Image Magic, the X-View. Everything was cool except for the hard drive. So I did go look for frames. And if somebody else has had some success finding a Shadowbox frame, please tell me where you got it from, because I'm having a little trouble with that too. I found a graduation Shadowbox that had like the tassel in it, and you could put your diploma in the back. Of course, I'll rip all that crap out.
Tell them how they could get in touch with you.
Yes, I'm at keyboardmonkey@gmail.com, and you can email me that way, or you can get Chuck at
Chuck@chuckchat.com.
Yep. Give us some feedback.
Please.
Greetings, geeky people. This is Jennifer, your Girl on Tech from the Girl on Tech podcast at girlontech.com. And you are listening to Chuck Chat. Hey, Chuck, a while back, you called me your oldest listener. You know it's not nice to talk about a diva's age like that.
Quick update on our WordPress conversion. I've been talking about this for a couple weeks because that's how long we've been working on it. Finally got a good swift kick in there. It's coming along very nicely, actually. Just a few more final touches and we should be ready to roll. I don't think there are any major technical hurdles left. Got the RSS feed and things working today. I spent most of the day yesterday and today fleshing out the content, getting the links done, and playing with the graphics a bit. I was doing some rough draft stuff, and then I send it to my producer on the other end of this conversation for final revisions, and we'll tweak around with it a bit more. And had to do a little bit more learning about enclosures today. This is probably what consumed most of my day today, other than goofing around with the Cafe Press stuff. We are looking at setting up a Cafe Press store or two. Never know. We've got lots of That's graphics and things. Hey, they're free, right? Free is good. I downloaded the plugin that Garrick Van Buren from the First Crack podcast and Kevin Devon from In the Trenches had made right after iTunes 4.9 was released. Kevin cranked out a new version of the WPRSS2.php program, and then Garrick turned it into an official plugin, still giving full credit to Kevin for the original core stuff. Installed it, pretty simple, just download, unzip it. And did a little tweaking to the script to get the right categories and such for my particular instance. The enclosure support wasn't as automatic as I was first led to believe. I was told that all you had to do is
put it... Don't look at me, Chuck.
Yeah, you haven't done podcasting support yet. I was told by a very reputable source that all you had to do is put in an HTML href tag to an MP3, and it would see that and go, oh yeah, gotta put in an enclosure tag, and here's the length, and here's the type, and... Well, it doesn't quite work that way in real life. It only works that way if you have the file on the same server as the WordPress site, so that it can do, you know, whatever the fstat command is and get the type and all that kind of good stuff.
And
well,
file size and whatnot.
Yeah. Right, right. If it, anyway, long story short, there is a simple workaround that is already built in. You use a custom tag, call it enclosure, and then you specify in the value field the full path to the file, the size, and the type on separate lines. It will parse that and make the true enclosure tag out of that. So once I got that nailed down, it wasn't too bad. I did find a hack from back in October, which was, I think that was pre-1.5 days. It might have been 1.2 days.
That's pre-podcasting days.
Well, actually, WordPress is largely responsible for a lot of the popularity of podcasting because of this very plugin. Mm-hmm. It required 3 fields to be added to the WP post table in the database, and it kind of got a little ugly because it was replacing some of the forms. I could have done it. I was reading through some of the forums that had discussed this and went, boy, if these people were running into problems, I'm not sure I want to tackle this. I think I'll just go the traditional way, and you know. So if the feed is messed up a little bit, it's because I chose the manual approach once again over the, you know, give me the fields in the form already done. Maybe at some point we will have the next revision of Garrick's plugin will have the fields for the enclosure already set up. Mm-hmm. In them. That's the next logical step I can think of. So a special thanks to Kevin Devin for a quick Skype tutorial this afternoon about how to really do the enclosures using the enclosure tag. I did give a quick tutorial to Victor Cahiao from the Typical PC User podcast regarding what I know to date, but that was prior to my learning a little bit more, so I'll have to circle back around with him and make sure he gets this update.
You screwed him up good, huh?
I told him what I knew. I didn't say I was an expert, and I gave him that disclaimer. I said, Victor, I haven't done this yet, but I will be shortly. So the last 24 hours have been very interesting, and I wasn't going to break down and call Kevin without doing some extensive research first, but I had to go into the software, and I was reading through some of the PHP code, and I thought, this is probably the nastiest thing I've seen that, you know, the typical non-programmer isn't going to do. So where is this love and community and documentation that I've heard so much about on this particular feature? Which kind of surprised me, but we're moving along. Maybe I should write an article and get some Google juice out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throw a bone.
That sounds bad.
It's Chuck Chat Technorama, tech without BSOD.
Oh, cracks you up, doesn't it?
I love that one.
Thank you, Charles Edward Stell, now that we know his middle name, from the Richard Vobes radio show contest. Do you listen to Richard?
Off and on.
Okay, long story short, for the people who don't listen to Richard, he was going off one day and he made up a name. He said, Charles Aloysius Stell. And Charles wrote in and said, that's not my middle name. Let me give you a hint. And he gave him a hint in binary coded decimal. And I didn't see it as such at first. And I said, this doesn't make any sense because he gave it in binary. And I said, that's an at character. And nobody, he said, this is the last character of my name. Who names their kid Aloysius At? And he said, no, it's BCD. Let me give you the last 2 characters in hex. And then he gave, translated them quickly to R and D. So we were thinking, could be Maynard, could be Bernard, could be Richard, could be Barnyard. We don't know what his middle name is, but
Barnyard.
It ends with... Well, it ends with RD, right?
Oh, okay.
Turns out it was Edward. Thank you, Charles. Charles listens to this show as well. I have a What the Chuck tonight.
No.
Yeah. It's not a real severe one, but I just scratch my head going, what the Chuck? We went shopping. We had to get my wife a prescription filled, so we were shopping at the local, you know, mart, whatever we call it. It's but while you're waiting for your prescription, they say this will take 15 minutes. You know, even though you know they just got to open up a little thing and scoop it in the bottle and you're done. But
just give me all the pills.
They just want you to shop for other unnecessaries. So we picked up some plastic buckets and some dishwashing detergent, and I wandered through the electronics section, as I often happen to do. Got myself a new pair of headphones. Oh, yeah, those feel good.
Want me to do that again?
Like this?
Oh, yeah.
And on the way out, my youngest daughter spotted a little keychain camera. This thing was about the size of a cigarette lighter, the old metal rectangular Zippo size. $20 on a keychain. It was Philips. I said, Philips is a good, reputable brand for electronics most of the time. You know, not it was Philips with one L, so I knew it was the right Philips, not you know the kind of milk of magnesia Philips. And looked at it, and I said, started looking over the package, and I was trying to find some specs on what's the resolution of this camera. And it said something like, takes 50 pictures in QVA mode and 80 pictures in VA mode. And it had a USB cable, so I know it couldn't be too far off base for you know, something that we could actually use. It was Windows only, so you know, we've got a Windows machine over there that girls play on. They could do that. But I have no idea what resolution this is. I jotted down the part number. It's a Philips P144. I'm sorry, 444417B. And started searching for this, 444417B. Couldn't find it. I looked on Philips' site. I looked on Google. I looked on Frugal. I looked everywhere. I cannot find this. I don't know where this thing came from, and I'm a little reluctant to buy it, not knowing what the resolution is. If the resolution is, you know, 200 by 120, forget it. It's not worth it, even for my kids. My digital phone has a better camera on that, and that's not saying much. But if it's 640 by 480, maybe. Now, Craig, prior to this show, you had found a J44417.
Yeah. Similar.
Didn't have the B. Similar, a little larger than what we were looking at, but the resolution on that would keep me from buying this. And maybe I do go buy it and keep the receipt and go, it was the wrong color.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I bought that little Logitech camera.
Yep.
And it's come in very handy. I mean, it's the size of a credit card. It's a little bit thicker, of course. Probably about, I don't know, it's hard to explain, maybe about half an inch thick. And it is just easy to be able to pull them out and take pictures. And the quality isn't that great, but, you know, I don't have a camera phone. Company provides a cell phone, so I'm not going to buy, you know, get a separate cell phone.
Where, this is perfect. I'm trying to figure out where this thing came from. We've got a family trip to an amusement park next weekend, so I'm still tempted to buy it and see what happens. Do a Phillips. Little playing around. Phillips.
That's where it comes from.
No. Oh, never mind. We have another geek thought for you.
Geek thoughts. I wonder what they call a local area network in Australia. Perhaps the land down under?
Oh! Oh, that was painful. Warn me about those next time, will you?
No.
Gee whiz.
Why?
Why?
That's part of the fun.
Oh, man. Oh, hey, we got to do some more promoting for people to vote for us on Podcast Alley.
Yeah.
We were up as high as like 64 at one point.
Yeah, then people started voting.
Yeah, they voted for other shows. What is up with that?
I don't know.
That was, if we could break the top 50, I'd be happy. I know you can do it.
Well, do you know where we're at right now?
Last I checked, it was like 104.
Well, that's better than what I had. Let's keep going.
If we don't get some votes, we're gonna have to send the crew out for you, and you wouldn't want that.
This is Angela Tomasi. My cousin Credo tells me that he asks us to go to Podcast Alley and vote for Chuck Chat Technorama, and you still haven't done that. I'm disappointed. Very disappointed. I think now would be a good time.
We wouldn't want to tick off Angelo.
No.
Head on over there, vote for us, podcastalley.com. Show number 3500 if you really care about those IDs. It is Sunday night, which means we're going to do a quick featured Tech Podcast Network site of the week. This one is with Jeff Bishop from the Tired... No, that was Charlie... Wow. Charlie George is from Tired Thumbs. Jeff Bishop is from the Desert Skies podcast. So here we go. Thank you for your time, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chuck.
Tell the listener a little bit about the Desert Skies podcast, what it's all about, what you cover, who your target audience is, just the general overview.
Okay. Well, the Desert Skies podcast is a tech podcast. It is focusing on mainstream technology, but from an accessibility perspective. We cover all of the mainstream type topics, but we try to relate them to people who are blind or visually impaired. We won't always be doing that. We'll sometimes just cover mainstream topics because obviously they affect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to focus on areas where things need to be dealt with, you know, a little bit differently, especially with screen reading technology. And we also are trying to make other people in the industry, whether that be mainstream industry or people who have websites that many of us frequent, we want to try to make them aware of accessibility concerns that they can make to improve the experience for blind and visually impaired consumers.
I'm guilty there. You pointed out on my site that I was missing a few alt tags on some of my images.
Yeah, and really the stuff is very, very basic. You know, it's really not that hard to do. And we've been focusing a lot on podcasting because really podcasting has taken over the blind and visually impaired community by storm. We have a mailing list that I run called Blindcasting. And we have about 400 members on that list. And the traffic is, 100 messages a day, perhaps.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. You know, a lot of us have already been doing audio production work, so, you know, and actually putting out content on the web and really kind of doing the whole podcasting thing. It goes back a number of years. Jonathan Mosen really was the first person to really get that started, and it really wasn't really called podcasting back then, but you really could have classified it as such. And so we're trying to get a lot of people involved, and just like everyone else, some of them are real beginners and others are real advanced and want to tweak and you know, write their own RSS feeds and not use a blog. And so we have all kinds of different you know, people involved, and so it really keeps me hopping. So lately, the Desert Skies podcast has focused a lot on podcasting, and recently, we've been talking a lot about iTunes 4.9, just like everybody else has. there's been a lot of work going on behind the scenes to make iTunes accessible, because right now it really is not, although that's about to change. So it's been a lot of fun, yeah.
Well, terrific. And welcome to the techpodcast.com family.
Thank you very much, Chuck.
Thank you. We're back.
All right. How about that? I'm going to have to check out the Desert Skies podcast. It sounded pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Well, I think let's wrap it up. You can contact us. I'm keyboardmonkey@gmail.com. And you can get a hold of Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. There's a lot of Chucks in there. And what's our voicemail number there, Chuck?
206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428, in case you're writing it down in real time.
All right, well, don't forget, I think, was it Wednesday, the shuttle takes off. Looking forward to that. And we'll have our next installment of Step by Step with my digital picture frame, if hardware willing. So, Chuck, you got any parting words of wisdom tonight?
No. Yes. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Except when it comes to printing. Cripes! I see 10 of the same jobs because someone couldn't print. They think clicking the print button over and over and over again will somehow fix it. It won't. You're going to wind up with 10 print jobs in the queue. And I got to go delete them.
Settle down, baby. Okay. So you can visit this
www.chuckchat.com.
That's right. Binary high five.
101.
All right. We'll see you.
We're done again.
Finally.